Turn with your Bibles this evening to Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Titled this, A Lesson on Character, A Lesson on Character. It is never wrong to serve the Lord. Sometimes in our service for the Lord, as I have mentioned before, going through the book of Ruth, we encounter awful tragedies. The Lord uses these tragedies, unbearable trials, to develop our character. Now, as we conform and exhibit the right character, the Lord begins to use us to bless us and reward us. These rewards are only gained as we respond in faith and to the Father's calm and gentle bidding on our life. One of the things we need to do is learn to submit to Him and His authorities. But when we do, I want you to understand that there is great encouragement. And Ruth suffered great heartache. She lost her husband. She lost her father-in-law, but she had a character and a reputation that spread far and wide. Others noticed her. She was rewarded. Ruth's testimony came because of her willingness to get into the Lord's field. And may you use the trials and hardships of your life to put you in the will of God and develop a remarkable character for yourself. Let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 16 this evening. I'm just going to touch on a portion of this passage, but we will read all of 8 through 16. But just one of the, as I was studying this, it was quite, I had 3 points, but I didn't get past my first point. It's developed into several sub-points. But as I was thinking upon this, really, Ruth's reputation, Ruth's character was unbelievable. She had a lesson on character. As we think about what was it that helped Ruth to have a good reputation. Here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 8, would you follow along with me as I read verses 8 through 16. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. There's some amazing things here. I'm dealing with this evening the very character and reputation of Ruth. There's a whole lot more in this passage that I did not deal with, and Lord willing, maybe next week we will touch on. But you think about that her reputation had far preceded her. And I'll ask you this evening, how is your reputation? What is your character like? Here are several quotes with respect to character. Several unknown sources. One writes, A man has not more character than he can command in a crisis. His character comes from his practice of godliness and his closeness to the Lord, says one unknown author. Another one says, Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And we still read about Ruth today with a tremendous, tremendous reputation. Another person says, What you are tomorrow, you are becoming today. And when someone was to think about your character, your reputation, and here's the principle this evening, work on your character, and God will work on what you are due. So you think about that. Sometimes we say, God, I deserve this. No, God's saying, work on your character, and I will bless you. I will reward you, but work on your character, and I will provide for you. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon this time, and then we will continue our study. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity. And Lord, as we just look at a lady with an impeccable character, Father, one whose life had great hardship. And Lord, as she placed her faith in You, we still read about her today. Father, I pray that for all of us, that when things get tough, when things begin to go wrong, and Lord, we don't understand it, that Father, we would maintain a reputation of a good character. Lord, may we work on our character and trust You for all that You will give to us. Father, I commit tonight into Your hands. I desperately need Your help to guide my lips, my thoughts. And I pray, Father, for all of us, that You'd help all of us to continue to work on our character. That, Father, we would honor You. We need Your help, Lord. And so I submit this time into Your hands. I love You. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I want to look, first of all, at verses 7 and 11 as you go through this. Verse 7, is we're talking about this passage of Scripture. Ruth says, "Let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." You think about her character, and then in verse 11, Boaz, "It has been fully showed me that You provided for Your mother-in-law." When you think about a character, it says much about that in the Scriptures, but in Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." When you think about what is your character, if someone was to summarize your character, what would it be? If your co-workers were to summarize your character, your reputation, what would it be? I like what one gentleman, one resource says, an illustration here. "Diamonds are formed under great pressure and heat. If these conditions do not exist, they are simply not formed. It is not that they will be low quality or smaller in size, but they will not form. God brings His refining fire into our lives to create in us what He sees fit. When He sees our lack of character, He will bring into our lives what we need. So next time a fiery trial comes, thank God. He is producing exactly what He knows you need in your life. The only difference between a diamond and a piece of coal is pressure." You know what? All of us, we need that pressure. I need the trials. I need those struggles. I need those hardships of life that God could develop in me a Christian with a solid, godly character. And your character, your testimony, and your name is absolutely the most valuable thing that you carry with you. And every person whom the Lord calls to a task, calls to a particular ministry, will receive persecution. There will be those who will disagree with you. There will be those who think you're foolish. There will be those who think your call to a particular ministry it doesn't make any sense. That you're part of something maybe too radical. Maybe you're going into something that some people might say is a cult. But if we do something like what Elimelech did and we stay in Moab, nothing's going to be said about us. You see, you have two characters here. Orpah, who was married to Naomi's other son. You have Orpah and Ruth. Orpah stayed in Moab. Orpah went back to her family, never suffered the struggles of moving into a Jewish land, never went through the hardships of trying to make a name for herself in a new place. No, Orpah stayed with her family. Ruth left. And when Ruth left, we read about Ruth's legacy, one of only two women in the Bible, Esther and Ruth. Books of the Bible. There's many women in the Bible, in the books of the Bible. And Ruth herself is a Gentile. Ruth would follow God's lead. Now I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And sometimes if we want to be a person of character, not sometimes, but God may ask us to do things that are totally uncomfortable. That is without we don't understand it. It's without our conception of how it's going to work together. But God is asking you, just like Ruth's circumstances, Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And you think about this, a lesson on character tonight. In Mark 10, 29, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. many that are first shall be last, and the last first. A character of faith. Ruth left Moab. And I bet you her family said, why in the world are you going to live near your husband's family? Your deceased, your mother-in-law's family. Why would you want to live with your mother-in-law? Your husband, you are a widow and you've lost your husband and you're going to live with your husband's family. Why would you do that? You can have everything here. You have the comfort of life here in Moab. You know Moab. Do you realize that those Jewish people don't like us as Moabites? And Ruth has to say, I'm going. I'm faithful to Naomi. Even though Naomi was a very bitter woman. Here's some things from my own life. When I was transitioning from the military to attend training for the ministry, I had some friends and even my grandfather who went to church. He let me know, he says, how much money I would be losing in the income that I could have if I stayed in my current profession. One high school friend says, does the field you go into, does it pay much? What you'd understand, doesn't matter what occupation you're in life. It could be the ministry. It could be your job. Every occupation of life will have resistance. If the occupation, maybe the occupation is to stay at home and to care for the children and work hard in caring for the children, you're going to have resistance from the children. It doesn't matter. You will have resistance in life. If you're a politician, there will be those who love you and there will be those who vehemently hate you. If you're in law enforcement, there will be those who like you and those who do not. If you're a loving parent, there will be times where your children do not like you. But understand this. It is never wrong to do right, no matter the cost. Ruth chose to leave her home, to step out in faith, and her character far exceeded her immediate influence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. The church at Corinth had made things right in the church. They got things corrected. It took a while. It was painful. It was hurtful. But the Corinthian church's testimony followed them. They had a testimony responding well to the admonishment of Paul. They got right with the Lord and followed through on the discipline of the erring brother, and they were willing to follow the Lord. I like what several gentlemen say with respect to character. Bob Jones Sr. said, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. He goes on to say another one, the test of your character is what you would do if you knew no one would ever know. Several unknown authors write, commitment in the face of conflict creates character. And the last one, character is being, doing, pursuing what is right simply because it is a wise thing to do. Ruth pursued Bethlehem because it was the right thing to do. And there's several things in Ruth's life. There's three things that Ruth does that develops her, that shows her, not develops her, but shows that she is a woman of impeccable character. Number one, her faith. She made the journey. Naomi went back home and Ruth went with her. You see, faith, this is what God wants of us. He wants us to just do what we know we ought to be doing rather than to stop doing it. Every step of the way, Ruth did what she was supposed to do. Think about that. Much like Abraham. Faith is taking the next step. Faith is not jumping from here to over there hoping that I'm going to be some super Christian tomorrow. Because I have made a giant leap from a person wherever I'm at into some super Christian that people years later will read about. No, that's not it. Faith is taking the next step you know you ought to do. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What did Abraham have to do? He had to leave home. Ruth's loyalty, she was faithful till the death of her husband. She left her family and friends to go to a strange land, but followed God's leading. And she got to work providing for her mother-in-law. Ruth's faith was nothing that stood out. She was not any glamorous individual. She wasn't someone that walked down the road and was like, did you see Ruth? Did you? Wow. She's like a superstar. No. No. Ruth was not that at all. Ruth wouldn't have even been noticed, hardly. You look at her character from this passage of Scripture, and she'd be a very, I would imagine, an individual that was quite in the background, wanting no one to notice her, as it seems like from her testimony. She didn't stand out. But all she did was make a series of decisions that led her into the blessings and promises of God. Your faith is not about making a life-altering decision today to go to another continent as a missionary. Rather, it's a series of small steps of faith that accumulate into one big step of faith. You are faithful with the life that you've been given. You're to be faithful in your daily time and walking and meditating on God's Word. You're to be faithful and to witness. You're to be faithful, a faithful church member. You're to be faithful in carrying out the gift that the Lord has given to you. You're to be faithful in being a witness for Jesus Christ. None of these are earth-shattering things. It's a step of faith, little by little. But all of those steps led Ruth to allow God and God's inspired word, a Gentile lady, to make it into the Word of God. And no matter the tragedy of your life, no matter the tragedy that Ruth endured in losing her husband, she didn't falter in her faith in God. She stayed faithful. And Ruth's success and testimony came because of her character, number one, of faith. I like what one illustration writes here. I've got one illustration here. In his book, Dr. Robert Caldini of Arizona State University relates the story of a jewelry store owner who was preparing to go on vacation and left tasks for her staff to perform. She had a line of jewelry that hadn't been selling well, and she wanted the price cut in half. In her haste, however, she left a note that was unclear. When she returned, she was delighted to find that every piece of the jewelry was gone. She was, however, shocked to find that her staff had doubled the price of the jewelry. The pieces hadn't been selling, went out the door immediately once the price was raised because it changed the way people thought about them. Here's the key. Our thoughts determine our actions. What seems to us to be shocking and out of character behavior would be explained if we could see the thought processes that have been going on internally. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, turn with me here to Luke 6, 45. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. It is impossible to do right while thinking wrongly for an extended period of time. What is inside you, what is inside your mind, what is inside your thoughts will come out. If you want your life to be marked by righteous living and righteous actions, you need to be righteous in your thoughts. That's why Paul would write in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Notice with me something here. Philippians 4, 8. Ruth's mindset, her thoughts were on faith. Philippians 4, 8. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Word of God, gives us the absolute truths of what to think on. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Ruth, her mindset was faith. She didn't know what was going to happen in Bethlehem, Judah. She didn't know if she had no idea that she would remarry, that she would have a child, and that child would then end up having a child himself, a great-grandmother to David, King David. one step at a time of faith. There's another thing we see with Ruth, her meekness. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'll read verse 13 of Ruth chapter 2. You can look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we'll read. Ruth chapter 2, verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." She's saying, why do I deserve such goodness from you? Why would you treat me so well? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Ruth is a woman that depicts meekness. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Likewise, you wives, being in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, or of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." I want to explain this idea of meekness. One lexicon mentions is to not be overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Gentle, humble, considerate, meek. Webster's 1828 dictionary describes meekness as forbearance under injuries and provocations. Some people might say this passage of Scripture is saying that the wife is less or lesser than her husband. That is foolish, and that is not what the Scripture is saying here. Actually, quite to the contrary. I say that the wife in this situation, though maybe won by the conversation of the wife, this wife is a woman of character much stronger than her spouse. She has the ability, the willpower, the strength, and the gentleness, though her spouse does not. The wife in this passage is really the one under control. She is the one who can control her attitude and mood, even though her husband refuses to believe in God. She is a woman of great strength. Meekness is a form of control that evidences itself by a preference for others. She's not a second-rate person. That is not what this is saying. And if you say that, be in subjection. You need to listen to me. She has meekness. She has a control over her character, though the other person may not have character. By her meekness, she can control her attitude. And I'm not just saying that to the wives, it's husbands and wives ought to have that. The Lord Jesus Christ would evidence such a humility and a meekness when he washed the disciples' feet. John 13, 6 through 8. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Jesus says, "I'm going to kneel down. I'm going to wash your feet." The meekness of the wife in 1 Peter and Ruth's meekness here before Boaz and his servant shows her heart, of her character. She was a woman of incredible reputation. Do you realize our role as a Christian is of service to others, even our enemies? In Luke 6:35, it says, love your enemies. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Number one, Ruth had a character of faith. Number two, meekness. And number three, humility. Verse 10 of Ruth 2. As Boaz comes up to her and says, "I want none of my men. I don't want any of you. Do not touch this young lady. Leave her alone." I love that protection. That image is just unbelievable. Boaz is quite the man. But Ruth, I love how she responds. Unbelievable humility. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, verse 10 of chapter 2, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I don't deserve your goodness, but I'm thankful. You see, if we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, I'm going to explain this a little bit further in humility. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. Verses 1 and 2 are my two favorite verses in the entire Bible. I love all the Bible, but these are two verses that mean a lot to me when I was going through a very tough time of life. I would recite these verses over and over and over again in my mind. It was a great encouragement to me. Verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." As I was talking about there in 1 Peter chapter 3 of the wives in subjection, that the husbands may be won by the conversation, the lifestyle of the wife, Jesus Christ shows the meekness, but he also shows the humility that he died. He endured that cross. He endured the shame, the ridicule, the persecution, the desertion, the loneliness. For you and me. Warren Wiersbe writes, he said, "I find that many people are miserable because they don't obey the admonition of Hebrews 12:2 about fixing our eyes on Jesus. They spend so much time looking at themselves, their circumstances, and other people that they fail to do what Ruth did, namely center their attention on their master. Instead of resting in his perfections, they focus on their own imperfections. Instead of seeing his spiritual riches, they complain about their bankruptcy. They go to church to get their needs met. Instead of going to church to worship the God who is greater than any need, they need to heed the counsel of the little poem a radio listener sent me years ago." He writes three things here. Look at self and be distressed. Look at others and be depressed. Look at Jesus and you'll be blessed. Ruth didn't care who she was around. She bowed her face in thankfulness and said, "I'm a Gentile and I don't deserve your goodness." You see, in her faith, God protected her in a foreign land. She was an outsider, and God protected her. And there's sometimes in our lives we say it doesn't make sense. But the number one thing she had in character is faith. Number two, she had meekness. And number three, she had humility. And that humility realizes that it's not about me. But she bowed her face in thankfulness to Boaz for his most benevolent and gracious kindness. She displayed a tremendous humility to acknowledge her own inadequacy. You see, humility is a trait that understands where praise is due. Ruth is thankful for the kindness that was bestowed upon her. She realizes the benefits that she has received are not earned or merited, but she's thankful. Here's one of the tests of pride in our lives. How's your thankfulness? See, a humble spirit is going to be thankful to those who've given of themselves to yourself. A humble spirit is willing to receive whatever blessings God or someone else is desiring to give them. Sometimes you say, "No, I can't receive that." God very well may be trying to give you something and you're just saying no to God. It's kind of like in Matthew chapter 15, the Gentile lady, Matthew 15, 25 through 28. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Here's a woman whose daughter is in awful circumstances. Horrible affliction, oppression. And she says, "God, help me. Jesus, help me." And Jesus shows this woman's faith by saying that she's really, if you want to think about Jesus, as he's reaching out here, and she's saying, "I don't care. I just want the crumbs. Whatever you want to give me, I'm willing to receive." Ruth's character, as you think about an application of all of this, She did not use the past and the hardships she suffered as a source for requiring that others dote on her and show sympathy towards her. She was not eaten up with the wrongs of the past. She looked ahead to the responsibility of the particular day. I need to provide for myself and I need to provide for Naomi. That's all I'm going to do. She displayed a character that was incredibly gentle, humble, and godly. Ruth looked away from her financial condition. She was very, very poor. She was a very poor widow. Looked away from her past. Looked away from being a Gentile. She placed herself upon the promises of Boaz. She was a godly young lady, and one that garnered the attention of all who would encounter her, as evidenced by Boaz's statements about her. Ruth displays one as a Christian who is pleased with no one or nothing else except that they're pleasing the Lord. For those who are unmarried, if you want a godly spouse, you need to be godly. Ruth's character was impeccable. Your character is the most precious thing you have. Several more quotes before I get to the conclusion this evening. Charles Spurgeon said, "A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. Carve your names on hearts, not marble." D.L. Moody said, "If I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself." John Morley said, "No man can climb beyond the limitations of his own character." J.C. Watts, Jr., "Character is doing what's right when nobody's looking." And several unknown authors write, "Character is made by what you stand for, reputation by what you fall for." Another one says, "I've always thought the actions of a man were the best interpreters of his thoughts." What a truth. The actions of a man show your character, which is also your thoughts. And the last one is, "Far more impressive when others discover your good qualities without your help." I don't need to herald forth my qualities. They're going to evidence themselves. Ruth had faith, meekness, and humility. Three things that gave her an unbelievable reputation. As I come to the conclusion this evening, Ruth, the pagan, is now under the wings of Jehovah God. She has a kinsman redeemer, and she is safe and secure as well as satisfied. And folks, when we come to our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus, not only are we saved, not only are we satisfied, but we are secure. Adrian Rogers mentioned that. Ruth's humility towards Boaz is the same attitude that we ought to display towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth, our character ought to be that of faith, meekness, and humility, the same things that Ruth displayed. Nowhere in this story did Ruth demand anything of Boaz. "Boaz, you have to provide for me because I'm poor, because I'm a widow, because I'm related to you through my husband." She didn't demand food. She didn't demand that someone do the work. No, she went and did it. She never demanded anything of Boaz, not because he was family, not. She just went out, worked hard, lived by faith, humbly submitted to the authority over her, and was unbelievably richly blessed. All of us must tenaciously, vigorously, steadfastly guard our character. If we're not a person of character, we dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. The final verse for this evening, Philippians 2:15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Your character. Two final thoughts. Settle on living by faith and having a godly character, and God will reward you far greater than you can ever imagine. And number two, don't demand your rights. Yield your rights to God and watch Him abundantly bless. A lesson on character. If you want to be a person of character with a good reputation, live by faith, live in meekness, and live in humility. And if you have those three things, God can use you abundantly. But if we fail in one of those three, God says, "I can't use you." That's what God wants. And Ruth gives us a tremendous testimony. I love her tenacity for life. She could have stayed heartbroken, over what happened in the past. She could have come with her mother-in-law, who was very critical. No. She realized her responsibility and she went and did it.